Well, this morning we're going to go back into our series again in teaching on manifestations of God. Let me just pray as we go here that we see and understand and comprehend what God wants to show us and reveal to us. Hallelujah. Because I think there's things that have been hidden, but not hidden because God's hiding it. Sometimes things get hidden from us because we have a way of seeing. And we're not seeing correctly, and we need to stop. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to always say, reading with religious colored glasses. Sometimes in seeing things, we've been told things so long, even though the Bible don't say it. It has been said so much and so long, people think it's God. You know, they think this is what God says and how it works. And I want my eyes opened. I want to see. Hallelujah, Father. I just want to thank you. As we look into your wonderful word, I am just so thankful, Lord God, that you have gave us these words in the book. But I want to thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ. And the great Holy Spirit, for without them, we're just sort of working on our own, reading a book, trying to figure it out. We're not trying to figure it out, Lord. Hallelujah. We're not putting the human mind to try to understand these. Father, our hearts are open. We want to hear revelation. We want to hear, Lord, what you're saying. We want to hear what you're speaking to us so we can do your will, follow your plans and your purposes. So we thank you, Father God. We set ourselves with hearts to know, and you will reveal to us. You said, ask and it shall be given unto you. So we're asking and it will be given in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in our teaching, we have, last week we went over to the end of chapter 12. At 1 Corinthians, we're going to go back today. We're in chapter 12, the end of it. We're going to look at some things here in chapter 13. But one of the things we want to do is this, is I want to read the last verse of chapter 12. Because, and understand, as we read through this, we found that it's talking about ministry. And we need to understand, as we go on in this discord, it talks about the ministry and the ministry of the church. And when we start chapter 13, it hasn't changed. It's always been broken up in what it says, and there's parts of it that don't get taught that are really important because people have decided what they think's important. And I want you to understand, we're dealing years in ministry, and what we call chapter 12 ends, well, they end it, but it's not an ending. It's where man made a chapter and verse. And you got to get that out of your minds in the Bible when you're reading and get out of this chapter and verse thing. Because it hinders us to think like that. I don't know why. The people that set this up, I don't know that they decided that they were going to do it. They meant it that way. But people sort of took it that way. And we read these are letters written to churches. And you have to understand what somebody's writing about. When is the subject changed? When is he talking about something else? Well, we find out here he's talking about supernatural manifestations that are supposed to operate through the whole body. And then this verse says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. He said, yet I want to show you a more excellent way. Now, I have heard ministers many times say this. Well, love is just more important because it's going to talk about love. This is more important than any of the gifts and all that kind of stuff. And what they just did is they just shot the whole teaching. And I've heard people say this, well, you know, we don't need the gifts if we walk in love. We don't need that. I've heard people say these stupid things. I've heard ministers say them, well, you walk in love, you know, the gifts, they aren't as important. Huh, isn't that funny? The Holy Ghost living in God went to all the trouble, put him in us, and what he does through us ain't important. It's not important. And see, the subject hasn't changed. We want to look at what starts off here. I'm going to read down through part of this in the next chapter because we're supposed to earnestly, and I learned that word earnestly desire. That word earnest means to covet. You're supposed to crave after something, something you're supposed to crave. Why would I crave after something that isn't really that important? Amen. But see, people get religious because they don't operate in gifts of the Spirit. They change the Bible to make themselves feel good, make themselves feel like they're spiritual. They don't want to admit to people, we don't know what's going on. So what we do, since the parts of the Bible don't work for us, therefore they must not be for us. People do that all the time, you know. People do that to Spirit-filled. Well, you know, these gifts don't operate through me. So see, that's not really for me. We found out they're for everybody. He divides to each one separately. Everybody ought to have manifestations of some kind of gifts of the Spirit. Everybody. Everybody ought to have some. The Scripture says so. Why would He tell you to earnestly desire something? It ain't going to ever happen. You're wasting your time. See, we need to break the molds of these things. We need to, you can pray all you want and ask God for a move of the Spirit. Well, if He can't move through you, what's the point?
That's right.
Well, I mean, think about it. What's the point? Why pray for God to move through everybody else while I sit, I'll just sit and watch, okay? I'll be the watcher. I'll be the guy. God, move through them for some entertainment for me. That's what we want. And, that's not what God wants. God wants everybody. We read, you know, over in Ephesians, you know, about what every joint supplies. Every part doing its share.
Amen.
So, you know, I realize, you know, that everybody has a share. I have a share that I have to do. And things that, a part that I fulfill, and I need to walk in what I'm called to do. And everybody has that. You're never going to have any satisfaction as a Christian. There's no reason for you to develop and grow if you're going to walk in what you know.
Amen.
There is absolutely zero point to it. Why would God want to give you revelation when you won't walk in it? I will tell you this. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, a young Christian. He talked about when he was a young Christian, right after he was still on the, hadn't got raised up out of the bed yet. He's just 16 years old. And he hadn't been raised, healed. And he said God gave him, he got the revelation from the Scriptures that he wasn't supposed to worry. And he said, man, he said, I worried about everything. He said, I worried. And he said, I saw that. And he said, I just sort of ignored that in the Scripture. And he said, from that day on, everything started going dark for me. He said, I went to the Bible and I wasn't getting nothing. See, some people, when a person tells me that they read the Bible and they don't get anything, I know with this, I know they're in disobedience. I know God gave revealed something to them and they don't walk in it. And so He quits revealing. Why? Because there's no reason to give you more if you want to walk. Why, you know, like, you can waste the time. A child, send them to school and they don't ever want to learn nothing. You waste your time. They ain't going to get nothing. Why sit and pump somebody a revelation or something, give them things, and ain't going to do anything with? And he said, inside I knew what was wrong. I had to go back. And he said, I had to repent. He said, I went back to God and said, Lord, You said I'm not supposed to worry, so I'm going to have to walk in that. I'm going to have to give up worry. And he said, the light came back on. He said, I started reading the Bible again. He said, stuff started coming to me. You know what? Amen. I totally believe this. If he wouldn't have walked in that, he'd have never got off the deathbed. That's why a lot of sometimes people don't get healed. They can't get a revelation on healing because they won't walk in other things. See, all they want is healing, and God said over here, you need to knock that off. Or you need to do this. I revealed it to you, and they won't do it. But give me a revelation over there. I want the revelation over there. Out there, that was good, wasn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Say, preach it, brother. Hallelujah. Anyhow. So I've learned this. You've got to walk in the light of the things you have. All you do, if you miss it, you just, God, forgive me, I blew it on that. I'm going to start walking in that. I'm going to start doing that. I want to start walking in the light as He is in the light. Hallelujah. Then we have fellowship with one another. Glory to God. Ain't nothing better than fellowship with God.
Hallelujah.
And there ain't nothing worse to know that you're a Christian and somehow fellowship ain't working with God. There's nothing worse. When fellowship ain't working with God, it just, when you know somehow it ain't clicking. And if you had never been there, we'll have an altar call for liars and get you saved today. We've all been, have you been there at times, you know?
Amen.
We said, get around. Now I'm going to read to you. We're going to start in the 13th chapter. And verse 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And he goes on to say, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I'm going to stop there. Now, what we want to do is I want you to look at this because of the opening to this, what it talks about. See, we need to understand concerning the subject. So when we look at love here, we need to understand love is being spoken in reference to the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Not, now this could, you could use this for anything in Christianity from the standpoint of walking in love, but he's speaking specifically, he's talking about the manifestations of the gifts. Isn't that what is being spoken of before this? You see, the subject hasn't changed, it's people have changed the subject. So we miss revelation. We miss revelation. And we're going to talk about what this says and not what people have said it says. Because we have a real problem in the body of Christ in thinking. We have this in starting off and looking at the first verse. It's, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. He said, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, he says, though, even though I talk. Now, Paul, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing about, does Paul speak in tongues? Yes, he does. He said, of men and of angels. Now we find, if you'll like this in scriptures, we need to understand this. When we go over to the 14th chapter, we're going to find out it talks about when a person speaks in tongues, he's not speaking to men but unto God. It's talking about speaking in other tongues, not tongues of men. Also, we do have sometimes from a scripture where a person spoke and it was a language that somebody understood. You know, I have there's a guy that was at Rhema when I was there. He had graduated before me and he was working there at Rhema. And anyhow, but he would go on mission trips and he went down to Mexico on a mission trip and God supernaturally gave him the Spanish language to speak. He never had been schooled or nothing. I mean, to this day, he speaks it fluently. He can speak it, he can read it, but never was ever taught it. And he could speak it. Some people say, why does that happen? I don't know. Sometimes I've known other people with other languages, the exact same thing happened to them. Now, we have those things and those manifestations. And, our people say, I wish God would do that for me. But let me ask you, what would you do with it besides sit at home and... God actually gave you Chinese. Are you ready to move to China? See, there's no reason for us time to give people gifts because they ain't going to do nothing with it anyhow. I mean, he runs a Bible school in China today. I mean, down in China, down in Mexico and in Mexico City and that stuff. And he's had a real wonderful ministry down there. Where he works, but God gave him the language. And, you know, I don't know if, there's one thing about it. I know some people like to have a lot of nice things happen to them, but these things were done for purposes. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. Hey, there's other people, they're sent to places and they have to take the time to learn the language and learn to speak it and all that stuff. I think even if a person is doing that, they should expect some supernatural help from God to pick up the language on something. Is not just rely on natural. I've given that up just naturally learning things a long time ago. Is whatever you're going to do, you get God involved in it. You know, because I hear people make things, statements all the time. Well, you know, I just have a hard time with this or that. Well, sure you do. You said you do. You're the one that confessed it. You said you can't do it. You couldn't do it. Well, your faith's working great. It's doing exactly what, well, I have a hard time with this and I have a hard time with that. And God has a hard time with you. Getting across to you. See, we want to do things, but sometimes we just use excuses. Excuses, but our excuses sometimes really hurt us from going further with God. But we find out that Paul talks about here the fact of not walking in love. And what we want to look at these things is because love, what this is dealing with is love is the motivation for ministry. It is the motivation for everything. It's not something. It's good to have a good motivation, but if you ain't doing the ministry, who cares? This is many Christians. Love's not important if you're not showing it. Love's not important if you're not ministering. See, we as the church, he's talking about ministry. The foundation of ministry is, you guys have heard me say this numbers and numbers of times. The gifts, and whether whatever it is, whether it's teaching, preaching gifts, those kind of gifts, the giftings, or whatever it might be that God manifests on the other nine ministry, those other gifts through us and all this stuff, they are not for us, they're for others. So you must be like to love people. This is one of the, you know, I've heard Christians say, well, you know, I'm just not much. I'm not really outgoing. Well, get outgoing.
Amen.
Because ministry is outgoing. Amen. You're going to have to do that.
Amen.
Ministry gifts is to minister to somebody. And it's not for you.
Amen.
And see, today, and in their ear, there are people who understand this and operate it, and there's others. They think gifts somehow make them more popular, or it'll make you more if you have gifts. This is not about you. It's not about you being seen. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
It's about magnifying God and understanding that God wants to manifest. You're going to run into somebody God's going to lead you to people or put people in your path. And you know one thing about the love thing? I'll tell you, God will put people in your path that are the most unlovely.
Amen.
See, this is one of the great problems. See, I saw, God never started a Christian community to live in. Has never started one. God don't want you living with just all Christians around you. If you need that, you're a sick puppy. We're reaching the world.
Hallelujah.
Do you know, I learned from Kenneth Hagin, but I saw it. You know, he said, I remember when the idea, see, PTL, I remember years ago, maybe some of you don't remember, they were going to have this big place and you just come and live there and you have all this stuff, and we Christians, you know, we just go huddle up there and all that kind of stuff. You build your house there, you stay there in that place, and it fails. But you know, Kenneth Hagin talked about, because that isn't the first time, Christians have tried that over there. Christians have tried to have communes. They've tried to have all these different things that they do. God's never ordained it. Never. And Kenneth Hagin brought this out. He said, did you never notice, he said, that all of these places and people that do that always fails. You can go all over this world and find where Christians have tried to do this, and it never works. Because it was never, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Say, well, I got an ugly neighbor. Well, get over it. He's probably saying the same thing about you.
Amen.
He's got an ugly neighbor. See, it takes love. See, there's number. Could God manifest to you in a supernatural way to reach that person? No, they're too ugly. It's like you guys heard, you know. I was the ugly sinner. And it's like a guy said to me, I never thought you'd get saved. And I said, well, see, he was one of those Christians. He was huddling up to all the other Christians. And that ugly Ed over there, God can't reach ugly Ed. And you know, God reached me through really a Christian guy came along and gave me a book. He's a Christian. Because somebody, come on, didn't think like he did.
Amen.
You see, we're in a world today that's ugly. And we have to have a heart to reach it. See, this is one thing, is I don't like a lot of conservative Christianity. I don't like it because it's throwing rocks at the politicians. It throws rocks at Biden all the time. It looks at these people. They're unreachable. See, all these people, the people out here in abortion, they're unreachable. They're ugly. They're mean. They're terrible people, and they can't be reached. We want to stay away from them. We don't want them. They're too ugly. This is what the gospel is for, the ugly, you ugly things. That's what you were.
That's right.
You weren't any prettier than any of the abortionists when you got saved. You were on the way to hell just like they were.
Amen.
Preach.
You know, it's like somehow we got this righteousness that we created. It's ours. We did it. And they weren't smart enough to get it. Is looking out there. See, this is about manifestations. Now, this is one of the things that we deal with here, is the Apostle Paul, and this is interesting in his speaking about this, because he said, now if I'm talking with tongues of men and angels, he said, I don't have love, I'm a clanging cymbal. And he said, see, you get out there and preach stuff, and you really, you know, sometimes people will say things to people, I see these people do this, somebody you know, who is sort of ugly, they use a scripture on them to club them with because they just want to, you're wrong, you ugly thing. But I want you to understand this. Paul is not saying that even if you're not walking in love, gifts aren't operating.
Amen.
Should I tell you, God will operate gifts through Christians that ain't walking right. Mm-hmm. Listen, look what he goes on to say. He goes on to say this. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. He said, I can have these. In other words, manifestations. See, this is one of the things is you need to understand this, and this I've talked about it before. This false teaching that comes along. You gotta really be this great supernatural person and really good. If you get real good and real spiritual, then God can manifest things through you. Well, Paul's talking about an individual who's none of that. Yet gifts are manifesting through them. I have seen this in my Christian walk. I have watched people who talk about, well, no, they wouldn't do half of what some other people do, but those other people have gifts manifest through them, and the one who thinks they're so holy don't. I've listened to ministers and that stuff and talk about churches and stuff and how people, they said, you know, some people personally said, boy, just, there's areas that they just don't get right on, yet God uses them in gifts. Well, why? Because they yield to them.
Amen.
The other person is so busy with their own holiness and their own goodness, and they don't realize their lack of spirituality. Spirituality is not what people think it is. There's many people who their spirituality is just doing good works from the standpoint of doing nice things. Well, join the Red Cross, they're doing nice things. But that doesn't make them spiritual. That don't mean that they are picking up things spiritually of what God wants to do. See, we can just, it's very easy. I mean, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me after I left Bible school, he told me to come back here and start a church. Come back to Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and I was just super excited about that. I really wanted to come back here. Why? Because it's a very religious area. Mm-hmm. And religion means so much to people. And it does. Their heritage and their backgrounds and all that, that just means everything to people, you know? It's like people today, you know, their country they come from. Us, everybody has their country, and they think that their country and what their country's doing is somehow, it's a godly good thing, and they don't realize how much of it holds them back and keeps them from going anywhere. People don't realize it, how much it is. One thing is I learned going along, I want to live the lifestyle of the Bible. If there's a heritage I want to do, is I want to live the heritage that is given to me by God. That's what I want to do. That's the one. And we need to be careful in these areas because we get into thinking, and especially like in this area, you know, that people, one of the things that the Lord showed me when I first started off with a church, when I finally obeyed God and started doing it. I was praying one day just sort of minding my own business, and the Lord, I had a vision, and in the vision the Lord spoke to me and told me about our area here. And at that time, they were going through things that, you know, just ministers were in and out of this area all the time. I mean, they'd come in, had more people come in here to start churches and do things, and they would go for a while and gone apart, they'd leave. You know, I heard more guys come in the community and say that God sent me here to do this or that, and, you know, a year or so and maybe less, they're gone. They're out of here. And all these people, God sent me here. Well, you know, I don't know. I thought maybe he had sent him here. He could have sent him here. But see, when people face difficulties, then they decide, well, God didn't send me here. Because God will only send you to a place where it's really going to work. God tells you to do something, it's going to be all roses. It's just going to be wonderful. It's going to be really nice. People do that all the time. If I had how many times that over the years that somebody came to this church first time, they say, and I'm preaching at the service. How many times had people come up to me and say, man, God sent me here. I need to be hearing this. Yeah, till they hear something they didn't want to hear. And then adios, they're gone. Because they're looking for a church. I will get the church that only says what I want to hear. Well, in that vision, one of the things the Lord showed me is what happened. One of the things in this community, and you'll find in the Lebanon area this, is people, from a religious standpoint, they want to control the churches and the direction they go. The Lord showed me that. He showed me churches in the area and that stuff. He said, I sent somebody in to pastor a church. And he said, they let the spirits of the community get in the church and the people want to control everything. And he said, ministers can't carry out their vision because the people want to control the vision. See, you got to understand the spirits that operate in different places. It's very difficult. I've had over the years had people come to this church. A lot of people come to a church. They want that church to be what they want it to be, and their whole purpose is they come to make that. I've had people just bluntly tell me, "Yeah, they want to be here. They want this church to do this, or they want it to do that. This is why they're here." And I tell them, "You're going to be an unhappy person here." Because see what they have, they want to run the thing. This is what I need. I need this or I need that. This is what I do. God don't know what He's doing. I've always tell people, isn't it amazing? All you people that know everything about what the church ought to be, you never get called to be the minister. And I'm the guy that didn't want to do this to begin with and He made me do it. And I got to put up with all these people, the know-it-alls that don't know a thing. And they're not called to do it, but they know what it all is supposed to be. See, it's interesting. See, we didn't know the problem started this, and we have this, and like Paul's talking about this, number one, you gotta learn to walk in love. You gotta get over yourself. It's very hard to people to do. One of the things you can tell about yourself, if you can't take it around tough situations with people, you have a love problem. Face it. If everybody has to make you feel good, well, get over it. Definitely don't go into ministry. Because if you don't, you'll hate people. You will. You'll hate people. You'll sit around and lie and say, you know, I just, God wants me to do this or do that. You'll lie. But what it comes down to is you just have to learn to get over whether people don't, it's not their job to keep me happy. If you need other people to keep you happy all the time, you definitely have a love problem. Wanda don't keep me happy all the time. I think we ought to do something about her. I thought that was her job. See, as I've learned about this, my Christian life, my joy and peace in life is about my relationship with God, not with people. People, you know, if people are the thing, you're going to have a hard time. Can you imagine Paul? Why would Paul? I mean, they did everything they did to try to kill this guy. I mean, they beat him. You can sit down and read all the things they did to this guy, and he keeps going to people. Why? Well, his motivation was love. He was sent in a job that he was sent in because of the gifting in him, and he was walking in love. The love of God shed abroad in his heart, and he doesn't look at it. The ugly people, he sees them as needing saved. That's what they need. See, that's what I needed. I needed saved. That's what I needed. I needed a changed life. And, that there gets tough on people. I've seen people that really wanted people to get saved and they got saved. They didn't like them then either because they wouldn't do everything they wanted. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, people do that all the time. You know, it's, yeah. They won't listen to me. Yeah, that's good. But see, we have these things here, these gifts. Paul goes on to say, he says, in the beginning of this, verse 3, he says, "And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." I want you to see this thing, because the motivation of ministry is the gifts. Is number one, it is about a benefit. Walking in obedience to God is a benefit to you. It's a benefit. The gift may not be operating for you, for somebody else, but it is a benefit. Paul's talking about somebody here who operates in gift, but it's no benefit to them. God's trying to use them. God wants to benefit us. We need to understand the Bible teaches us we lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. See, do you remember when this guy, his name was Jesus, made this statement? He said, "They'll come to me and say, Lord, I've done all these things in your name. Look what I want. And he names miracles. He names all this stuff. And he says, go away. I didn't know you. I don't know you. See, it didn't benefit him a bit. I did all these miracles. I did all the, I cast out devils. He may use my voice, but I'm going to tell you it's Him. See, His people, I've done all of this. Look what I have done. I was a clanging cymbal to a lot of people, you know. Look what I have done. To no benefit. To no benefit. So God manifests gifts. Now, I just want to give you a piece of revelation here that can really help you. Because of wrong teaching in the church about gifts interoperation, because they only operate through people who are real holy. Now, number one, I want to just tell you this. If you have any of that belief in you and you don't get it out and God uses you, you're going to think you're better than other people who you think He ought to be using. You're going to get a lot of ministers got big heads. They think because they're used to the gift. We measure spirituality by gifts. I'm sorry. God talked through a donkey. And I wish He'd do more of that. See, you can't. This is why. How do I know I've gotten to spirituality? God uses in me gifts. That is the measure of spirituality. Paul just told us here. See, by not putting these things in their context, people miss the whole things these things are trying to say. This is about, you're not spiritual because you're used in gifts. Just that's the way God set it up. He uses people in the church. The fact that He uses you, you're just another donkey. I'm just another donkey. I hope my brain's a little bit smarter, but maybe that's lots of times people's problem. They could use a less smarter mind. See, we're used by God, and we need to understand to keep it because it can cause major problems. And here's what people do, and a lot of the church world does today. If somebody's really gifted, they believe they're really spiritual, and they follow whatever they do. Oh, that's why we got so much messed up today in the church world. See, I had this problem. I began to ask God about things because it really bothered me. I hear all this teaching that's going on now. You know, you get real spiritual. God uses you. I feel like I'm a left shoe on a right foot. I'm thinking, well, God was using me and I wasn't real spiritual. How come this? And then people are really marveled at ministries and that stuff. And I know people personally and even some big name ministers that I had personal contact with that I found out they don't live the life they preach at all. They preach to you to live it. And yet God uses them through gifts and that stuff and they don't walk right nor live right. And this really confused me. Yet, used very much in gifts of the Spirit. Why does God continually to do that? Why is it? Well, have you ever wondered about any of those things? Or are you just... Well, see, this is what happens. People get into this category then. Well, and this is a sad thing for these ministers because they get into this category. They get over and think, because God uses me, I'm spiritually all right. See, you can never use spiritual gifts as a measure of your spirituality. Never. If you do, you're in big trouble. You're going to, because what happens? I see these ministers. God uses me, even though I'm doing things wrong. He approves it because He's using me. And they don't realize He's not. There's ministers who have ended up dead. And God don't kill them. God doesn't do it. They open the door to the devil to their life. You don't want to open the door to the devil to your life. That's what you don't want. Used by gifts does not make me spiritual. And see, learning to be spiritual really comes down to learning to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what spirituality is. Can I be led by the Spirit? See, I know this sometimes. I know some ministers, and I mean, they'll yield back and forth between familiar spirits and the Spirit of God. Hey, it's both spirits, and they're yielding to spiritual stuff, and it isn't right. But see, they're not mature like they think. They don't know how to divide the truth. They don't know how to divide things, they yield to things. We have a lot of pressure today by people. People want spectacular things today. We like a show. That's America. You know, we like a show. You know, you said watch movies today And it is hard to tell what's reality and what digital stuff they're putting in. It's hard to tell. You don't know. And people are seeing all these things and they see all this stuff, and people want something spectacular. We have to have something more spectacular. We have to say, but it never gets to be enough. It has to get more and more spectacular. It has to go further, and it must go further, and they want to go further. It's like in the drinking and the drug world. I know. I live there. And you go in, and people get high. Well, you know, you get high on a little bit at first. But then you want to get a little higher, you know. Say, that was fun. Let's get a little higher. You know, we get drinking. Hey, got a little giddy. Well, let's go a little further. And you go further. But after a while, you keep doing that. You sort of just become immune to it, and you need to do more and more to get further, And you got to do more and more and more. And that's the way it is. And I'm going to tell you what, it ends up in a crash. It don't ever end up good. It ends up in a crash. Trying to reach to something. Trying to reach to this place, but all that thing does is consume you. It'll just consume you after a while. And see, you don't want to go there. You know, lots of times, they used to tell us this and say it at Rhema a lot. In fact, Pastor Hagin used to say this a lot. He said many times Christians looking for the spectacular miss the supernatural. There's supernatural things that are going on and happening. I see people have supernatural things happen in their life, don't even realize it. They don't even know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Bypass the supernatural. Because our eyes are focused to the spectacular. Mm-hmm. Our eyes are focused to something. We can't see. People get the place they can't see the blessing of God anymore. You know, it's like me. I want to tell you, I have a blessed life. I'm just sitting around talking. People talk, well, you know, the economy, the way it's going. I'm sorry, I got a blessed life. I mean, I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed. So you got to keep that. You got to keep those things in the front of your mind. You got to keep. I have a blessed life. God's good to me. And you know, look at all the people out here and all the mess going on and all the stuff happening. And I think, my God, I ain't got none of those messes those people are talking about.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, it's recognizing the fact of God's hand in things with you. But I want to say this because, see, I got concerned and I said, God, you know, what about these people and using them? And I said, you know, because some of these people, hey, I look at my thing, I know there are gifts of God operating through them. People getting blessed, healed. It's amazing. I mean, I've told you guys before, I've watched old videos from back in they had from back in the 50s, during the 50s, healing revivals. It is phenomenal, the miracles and stuff that took place back there. You'd see these ministers, and I saw just phenomenal miracles. I mean, it just blows your mind, stuff of people on deathbeds get up and walk, you know, people twisted limbs and stuff and straighten out, and you have all these things going on. But see, these ministers got over. God would use these guys. He would use them and manifest absolutely wonderful things. And when God would do a great miracle, they'd stop the service, take an offering. See, they learned. Oh, when that happens, see, you run off of people's emotion because they know this. The average Christian ain't spiritual. And they know they'll be moved. They will give based on their emotion of the time of what they saw. And they would do that. Kenneth Hagin talked about the Lord spoke to him about these people doing this stuff. And he said, don't you get involved in that. He said, because see, what would happen? God would do a miracle. They would get over and take an offering and that anointing would lift. The anointing he's given on you or on your life. God anoints you for a gift or puts something in you to minister to help people. Don't you dissipate it by your fleshly acts to go do something for you to show off or to do. That's not what it's for. You see, those anointings come on to do miracles. The Holy Spirit was moving in miracles, and they got one miracle and stopped. They may have had 10, but they brought to a stop by doing what they did. People playing with the power. People play with the power of God. People say, you can't misuse the power of God. Get over it. There's people who say that are probably the person that has done it all their life. That's why God can't use them. Misuse the power of God comes for a purpose. We need to know what, when we're ministering, the power of God comes for purpose, and it's to minister to people. That's what it's for. It's not to make me look good. It's not to make somebody else look good. It is for purpose. It's not to show off. It's not to just keep somebody's there and you knock them down and you just keep hitting them and knocking them down. That power is given to minister to people. There's other people there sick. Don't use that power and dissipate it. The power of God can be dissipated just like a battery can be drawn. You can, you know, you have a battery hooked up your flashlight. You hook it up to something else. Your flashlight ain't going to work too long. It ain't going to work as long as it should. The power is in that manner. The power never comes on somebody and just stays there, stays put. The anointing comes on you, and I've learned an anointing in years. I've had times where the Lord told me to quickly lay hands on people because He said the anointing's lifting. Hurry up and lay hands on people. Why? To minister that to people. That's what it's for. It's to minister to people. Say, well, why does He do that? Why? I don't know. You ask Him. But you learn to obey it. You learn to follow and walk in line with it. See, people don't do that. People dissipate the power. They do other things with it. But I said, Lord, what is going on? These people, their lives don't match at all. Then they turn around and talk about spirituality. I said, people are all messed up and confused. And I said, I sure want to know, why do you keep operating through that guy? Why do you keep doing what you're doing? Now, I know it's eventually going to cost a person to do the things that they do. Eventually, it'll cost them. Everybody reaps what they sow. Things come along. That's why some of the prophets today can't get it right hardly at all. They have done so much in the flesh that they, if they want to make people think they're still in the business, they got to keep doing it. They got to keep prophesying. But I said, the Lord, why? And the Lord clearly spoke to me and said, I don't do that for Him. I do that for them, the people. He said, when the people come to their meeting, His meetings, He said, they're coming in faith. They believe they're going to get a miracle. And He said, I show up and do it for them. He said, I don't do that for Him. He said, it's the people. It's the people. See, we need to get that into mind, ourselves. We want to miss. It's for the people. That's what it's for. God manifests through us for others. That's what it is. And He said, they come. See, God using me, it's because somebody has a need. He's looking for somebody, whether they're real spiritual or not, that He can do something through, because God wants to help people. Amen. We're in a day and time where the church is way off base. God really wants to help all these ones out here that act like knuckleheads. He really wants to touch them. Amen. He really wants them. That's why Christians can't get touched, because they're so self-centered. It's all about me and mine and my guilt, mine and this. No, it isn't. God's looking for somebody that He could touch somebody out here. People are going off, you know, in my worst condition, I'm better off than the people in the world. People are going off into hell and the church don't care. The church, you know, a lot of Christians don't give a rip that, you know, Biden and his family and what happens to them. They could care less. They could care less what happens to Obama's family. They care less about it. They don't give. They don't care what happens to those people. Well, if they die, we'd just be better off, you know. Something happened to them. No, supernatural powers for the reaching out to the ungodly.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's reaching out to the ungodly. We want to contain it. We want to put it in cans. Keep it. So, you know, we'll open it for all the good people, but them out there, we ain't opening it. You know, it's like back in the charismatic renewal it was. Well, there's numbers of spirit-filled churches. God didn't move in because, you know, they couldn't believe that God would fill a Methodist with the Holy Ghost, or God would fill a Presbyterian or a Catholic. You know, they just thought that was way out in left field there. If it was a move of God, it'd be in our church. Well, God couldn't move in their churches for nothing. He couldn't move in their churches. They didn't care about the outside. See, God can only move in our group. That's it. He can't move it. He can't go out there. I have been in any group of people. I've seen them in churches. Read the book of Revelation. The church is in the beginning. Every one of those churches, He spoke to people. He said, but those inside of you, it ain't all messed up. In other words, every churches that were allowing, you know, sexual perversion going on and everything else. He said, in those churches, there's people that aren't followed after that and haven't walked in that. They belong to Him. Every every group got people that are walking right. You need to understand that. See, I grew up in that categorized churches thing that I could never stand was the fact of, you know, this group, you know, it's like the group that I was raised in were exactly like the Mennonites, but they were going to heaven, the Mennonites weren't, and the Mennonites thought they were going to heaven, and that group wasn't. So they were all nuts. See, categorizing a thing, there can't be a Christian over in this group because there's a bunch of them over there all messed up. So what? That's like coming to my neighborhood. Everybody's messed up because most of them are messed up, so that's everybody's messed up. That's Christianity. That's what they're doing. Everybody's messed up. No, they're not. There's people out here, you know, that sincerely love the Lord. I feel sorry because there's many Christians out here. They haven't been taught. They don't know much. But they're a Christian. They're born again or a child of God. Whether you like it, you're going to put up with them in heaven. And they may have more reward than you. Because they walked in the light they had. If they did. You see, we need to understand this. We don't judge by somebody who's operating gifts. That don't mean you can follow after everything you do. You got to be able to spiritually discern for yourself. One of the things that I found this out over the years and became a bit of a shocking thing to me, because we always look like, we talk about being a baby Christian, but there's a difference. There are people who are big babies. They've been Christians for years, but they're a big baby. There's people who are legitimately baby Christians from the standpoint of being a new Christian. And I found this out over the years. Lots of times, a new Christian who is a legitimate baby won't go along with some junk as quick as the big babies do. The big babies lots of times miss it, get involved. I find people all the time in Christianity consider itself, because they've been around a long time, some kind of spiritual, and they'll follow on things, new fads that come in the church world, and they're right in the middle of it, and it ain't God. And true babies will like, I don't know about that. You see, they haven't got over there, got religious enough, and really think they're smart and thinking. See, I don't care how long, doesn't matter how long I've been a Christian, don't matter what I know, you still got to be listening and walking on the inside, or you'll get led astray. You never arrive at the place you're so smart. You never arrive at that place. You need to know where you're at spiritually. You can never measure, because if you think you're spiritual because God uses you in gifts, you may never grow beyond that point. You may want to just stay there. You think, well, I'm spiritual. I got it now. God's using me. You see, I was glad that I had gifts. See, I had gifts operating me before I started going to a church. Right? We started going to church. Every time we tried to go to a church in our area, the Lord wouldn't let us go. And I understand why, because it would have led me off left field. What I thought was a good church. Number one, most Christians wouldn't know a good church if it fell out of the sky on them. And they had the ruby slippers. They wouldn't know. They wouldn't have a clue. So, people need to understand. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit of what you need. See, and I really realized that God spared me. I didn't know at the time, but just listening. See, I had all these Christians telling me these good churches, and God told me they weren't. Amen. We had one church in Lebanon here, and people just bragged on it. So I was going to go, and I knew in my spirit I wasn't supposed to go. I just knew it. But I loaded up Mondo and the kids in the car, and we drove up, went in the parking lot, drove in the parking lot to park. And the Lord said, you go to this church. He said, you go to this church, and he said, you're never going to fulfill what I've called you to do. You'll never fulfill it. See, people never look at it that way in life. Making their choices, they don't realize that you can make a choice that you'll never fulfill the will of God in your life. That's what he told me. He said, you go in here and you'll never fulfill the will of God for your life. You'll never fulfill it. And I just drove right around down the end of the parking lot, turned around, came back, and drove home. I was a baby Christian. That place is full with people that are spiritual, say they're spiritual. And now today, Ichabod's on the door of that place. People didn't know. See, people don't know it, but you want to find out. And this is why it's the areas. One of the things is we want to walk in love because we want gifts. We always want to view people. You know, you'll try to use gifts to whom you think well, God's going to reach this person or do that person or something. And just, I want you to get a hold of this fact, because God will move through sometimes for the most unlikely. See, people get the idea, well, this person's real nice. Well, surely God will want to minister healing to them. And they'll want a gift of healing with the operation, yet it don't. It don't. It don't. And then you get this person over here. Just in one instance, there's a guy when the family came to our church, and he was an airhead. He was. I mean, but he's a guy, you know, he's sitting out here. But you think about it, and this is very interesting, because you think about who you'd pick to heal. And after the service was over one Sunday, this guy came up, talked to me and that stuff, and I just knew he had this problem. I just knew God was going to heal him. Now, I could have lined up 27 Christians from different churches that this guy had went around to, and they would have never picked him to the guy that God was going to heal. They thought God was never going to heal him, because he was just messed up and he was always doing everything wrong and stuff. And to this day, he ain't changed. But anyhow, it's funny. And I just knew it. And I laid hands on him, and he got healed. He had Lyme disease. Him and his whole family had Lyme disease. And they all got healed that day.
Praise God.
And I could take ministers that would tell you they had never believed that God would heal them. Because every place they went, they were nothing but, it's just a mess. They're just a mess. But God did. See, you can't, you don't pick and choose the gift that, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to use this thing for this person. You don't do that. The Holy Spirit. See, why did God do that? I don't know. Ask him. This is one thing, you know. I believe one thing it is I think God wanted to bear witness to him of some things.
Amen.
But the whole thing of it is, this is a very dangerous thing that you need to know. God bears witness to you through things of gifts of the Spirit. You better pay attention, because you don't want to go back over being Mr. and Mrs. Stupid. Because people think, well, God, this, people get into this. Well, God did this for me because I was over here being an idiot. He was good to me, so I can just keep being an idiot. You don't want to go to that place on that end. God's going to hold you accountable for those things. We will. You'll see these things happen. I had learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He talked about with his, when I was first a young Christian, he talked about how God used him and his family. He said, concerning even some of his relatives, that God did supernatural things of manifestations through him for them. He said that he did them, but he said one time, but he said he could never get God to do it again. He said once they experience the power of God, God always expects people to begin to walk in the light of that. See, this is where people miss it in these areas, because God moves for them one time. I've had people just time and time, they come along and say, well, you know, God healed me before. Why can't I get healed now? I never get healed anymore. Well, are you walking in the light of it? See, you may have been healed by somebody else, or a gift of the Spirit, or someone else's faith, even.
Amen.
When you started off as a young Christian, you may have been healed in that manner. It wasn't your faith. But when you find out it's true, it's your job to develop your faith and to learn to walk in that.
Amen.
God's not going to keep coming along and doing that. See, one of the benefits, I didn't think it was a benefit at all, but it was a great benefit to me that God never, when I first got saved, and I was born again for a number of years, God never would allow me to have somebody else lay their hand on me to pray for me. He used to always tell me, you stand on the faith, you stand in faith, or you know what to do, you stand on it. He'd always tell me to do that. Well, I used to think, well, why is he hard on me? Let's everybody else get in line. My words, I'd go to a meeting and half the preachers in the place were standing down and getting hands laid on. I said, why not me? Why can't I? Well, don't you guys, what? See, don't you ever think God picks on you? I thought, why me? Why is he doing this to me? So you go for years with this thing, and I go through the whole thing to years till we come and start in a church. First start in a church. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I allowed you to go through things and taught you things, he said, so you could teach people faith and healing. So that's why I did it. Then he told me. He said, many ministers, they can't preach with any conviction and faith and healing. They don't know how to get it by faith. They're just waiting for somebody else to lay hands on and get trying to get something, trying to get a gift, trying to get something going down here. He said, I didn't let people lay hands on you. He said, I taught you to stand and get it. He said, so you could tell people how to stand and get it. That's why he did it. See, it isn't some bad thing. People think somehow the manifestations of the gifts are better. But you understand, they only operate as the Spirit wills. You'll never find any individual that gets healed by gifts of the Spirit a lot of times. It'll never happen. Never take place. Gifts of healing, the majority of the time, will take place for people who either don't know anything about it, maybe even a sinner. You may have Christians that are in churches that aren't taught anything about these things, those kind of things. But the people who have experienced it, they should be developing their faith to walk in the Word of God. That's the best. That's the best, because you can get God's help. If you know how to operate in faith, you can get God's help at any time for anything. That's the best. See, no, I would rather have to fly across the country to a special doctor or a special this. See, this is sort of what people do. They let's go here, let's run there. I don't want to get it in my home. I want to go do it this way. I want to go do that. But people are almost like that. They think somehow God uses this minister and he has, you know, gifts to him. Let's go run and chase that gift down. You know, we need to understand that's not the best. The best is you standing in faith in the Word. God's not trying to be mean to you. He's not being hard. If God would ask me to do something that I cannot do, that's unrighteous. If I can't do it. See, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and people say that. Is that true? All things are possible to him that believeth. We've made them into nice cliches, but to put them out, they're true. And they're not statements that we have things we cannot have. Did you notice when we were in, here's one, let me just say is how we tame the Bible down. Now, I've heard this from hundreds of ministers and big name ministers. They said, well, I don't believe in the Bible in Mark 23. He's really talking about moving mountains there. I really don't believe that he's talking about actual mountains. These are the mountains in your life. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I know for sure they're wrong, because Paul said, you see what he said? Though I have faith to move mountains. He didn't say, though I have faith to move mountains in my life. Though I have faith to move mountains. Jesus told the disciples, they could have literally moved a mountain. Now I want you to think about this. Now I want you to get it, because get out of your babyhood mind. Well, I'm going to believe God to move a mountain. What, so you can show off? What's your purpose? What's your motive? It's all about me. It's all about me. I want people to see me. I'll get a tattoo on my face so they look at me. See, this is people get over. You always tell baby Christians they always want to. You know, baby, I remember when I came into the kingdom and all these guys, oh, I'm believing God for $1 million. They couldn't have believed me for $2. But I'm going to believe for $1 million. And I want to believe God. Oh, I believe in God for this. I believe it. And they never got none of it. There's purposes. Why we do it? Love. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. That's not what we're doing. We want to draw attention to Christ. That's what the manifestations of the gifts. We want people to want Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So we want to get that in our minds. We want to get that in our thoughts and these things. And we look at there and we look at what love is. Love is for the purpose. Because you're going to run into the unlovely.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what. Your patience is going to, you know, get used. Paul wrote about that. See, no matter how patient, no matter how all this stuff I'm doing out here, I'm giving everything to the poor and I'm giving it to them, but I hate the poor. We're just giving it to them. Give it to them so they stay away from me. You don't want to put up with these knuckleheads. Just get rid of them, I'll tell you. See, we want the gifts. Paul said, you have those things. See, there's no profit to us. Following God is to bring you benefit. It brings you benefit. You want the benefit that goes with following God.
Amen.
Paul said, you could have, God could use you, but it's really no benefit to you. What a terrible thing. What an awful thing it would be. Saved by everybody but yourself. Go chase the whole world and your family goes down the tubes. I mean, what's the purpose of it all? What is it? See, I found out things when you begin over. I was fortunate to see these things as a young Christian. Is helping other people. You know, one of the things that really struck me was concerning Wanda's grandfather, when he was dying, and I've told the story already, but he was in a nursing home up over in Campbelltown, and we went in there, and he was in a room. You walked in that room, and I'm going to tell you, the spirit of death was in there. I mean, you could tell by the way everybody was acting in the room that the spirit of death was there. You could see it manifesting through them. Death was dominating in that room. You could tell. And I walked in there, and I knew this. If you're going to do any praying there, if you didn't have the anointing on you, you weren't going nowhere with it. It wasn't going to work. Why? There was too much unbelief. Death was ruling and reigning. See, you need to understand this, but there's places you need to understand the atmosphere of the people you're in. You can't go any further than the crowd will let you, just like here with you. I can't go any further than you guys will let me. You guys, that's in your hands, not mine. No matter how much God anoints me, you'll control how far I can go. You'll control that. The crowd always does. So you get into places. That's why Jesus sometimes took people out of a city. He took them out of a place. Unbelief. Take them aside to minister to them. I don't like to go into hospitals to minister to people. When family's there, I don't like. I usually never minister in those. But I'll just go in and say a little. Now I'll lay me down to sleep prayer and go. Because just full unbelief. All the family's there and they're all in the flesh and everybody's. You know, the person you're going in to visit, they've just got done telling them 10 horror stories before they got there about what happened to Cousin Harry and him and all that stuff is going on there. And they're listening to all that stuff instead of saying, if you can't say anything decent, would you go home and never come back? Well, I can't do that to Mama. I can. I tell Mama, if you love your kid, keep your blab mouth shut. Don't sit around and talk his love stuff. When ain't nothing but a bunch of wind blowing.
Amen.
If you have any concern, do something good. There's enough fire. Don't throw no gas on it. Dear God. We don't need gas on a fire. But anyhow, I was praying for him. It's one of the things that just really, you know, struck me is God's to want to do something for somebody. Because when we left there and we were driving home, and I was just sort of having a conversation with God. Wanda was in the seat, the car beside me, but I'm driving and inside I'm having this conversation with God about this. I said, man, God, this is awful. And I said, you know, I felt bad for Wanda because she just had just dumb stuff going on in her family, you know, and just things happening. And, but God's desire to minister to them. And, you know, I'm going along and the Lord is, I said, you know, for Wanda's sake, I said, Lord, I hate to see this thing end the way it's ending here with Grandpa because of the mess up in the family and things. And there's been problems among the kids and stuff, and he's dying now. I said, just for Wanda's sake, I'd like to see that turned out differently. And just as clear to me, inside of me, this voice said, I want you to go back and lay hands on him. He said, I can't do this for him. Now, he was a Christian. He had gotten born again years ago. See, you need to know this. See, he didn't walk in the light of it. He got born again. Had a discussion with him about it. He got born again in a revival meeting in South Dakota in a church many moons ago. Wanda and I have been to the town where that was. I mean, it's still just a little place. It got a school, an entire elementary and a high school. And I think, 12, 13 kids in there or something like that? It's a little holdable. I mean, they were out in the middle of nowhere in this place, and they had a revival, and he got born again. But he said, I can't do this for him because of him. See, it isn't God didn't want to do it, but he said, I can't do it for him. He has to walk in the light. But he said, I'm going to do this because, he said, for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He said, I'm going to do this for you. And I thought, wow. But see, we're dealing with motive. What about me? I didn't ask him for me. But see, if you're in the right spiritual condition, you can just do things. He wanted to bless that man because I wanted to bless him. He wanted to.
Amen.
He wanted to bless him.
Amen.
He wanted to help with that family situation. Mm-hmm. You know, that really struck me that day as I thought, you get over. Well, he still wants to minister. He's looking for a way to get into something. He's looking
Amen.
For a way. And he said, I can't do it for him, but I can do this for you. Well, he got blessed out of it because he lived 5 years longer.
Praise God.
He lived 5 years longer, and the mess was straightened out concerning the family. And the one daughter was causing a lot of problems. She went by the wayside. It's funny. The family was supposed to be a Christian. She was the problem. She was the major problem. Sometimes you find that out in situations. But that was God's desire to reach out to change a situation. See, God manifested something supernaturally. Naturally, he's supposed to die. He was going to die. And the Lord said to me, you go back and lay hands on him. And he said, I'll make his last days better than his first.
Hallelujah.
Good God. I mean, you look and you have those things and it's just like, man. God's wonderful. And he's good. Just because, you know, to me, my whole thing was, but I just wanted things to go better for Wanda. I just didn't like my wife going through this. I think we would see more miracles. Today, it's too much about ourselves, and we spend too much time on ourselves. And I found this out. When I spend more time looking at God's plan and God's things, it's amazing how things change in my life. We have to watch. There's nothing matter with. There's things in your life you have to deal with. You have to go after and that stuff. But you need to become. Understand. You don't become so self-focused that nobody else's needs around you become important. People get the thing that they're dealing with is the most important of all. There's one thing that I've learned about this. If I die, I go to heaven. But there's a whole lot of people that ain't going to happen if they die. If life goes bad for me, it's for a short time. Life goes bad for the average person today. It's eternity. It's going to be bad. So you got to get it in. We have to get it in our minds. Get things corrected. Our faith, you know, we walk right. We live right so God can use us.
Hallelujah.
Preach. We walk right. We do things. God said, I can. When he said, I'll do that for you. I can do it for you.
Amen.
Well, you know, I sure wasn't on the top of the list of the most spiritual guys in town. But you know what? I was available to God. And see, that's a huge thing. When people today look at spirituality, I found this out. Spirituality is being able to be used by God.
Amen.
The spirituality. Can he use us? Can he use us in some way or other? Can he use me? Can he reach somebody? Can somebody's life get changed? Does somebody else's life matter enough to want to get it changed? We want to get there to that.
Amen.
But I hope you see that today. But just don't measure your spirituality if God uses you. That shows that I'm spiritual. I hate to see people go through that. I hate to see people do that. Because it's a very deceptive way to live. It's very deceptive to think. There's one minister of the healing revivals in the 1950s. Of the healing revivals, this man, miracle after miracle. I mean, his ministry over the years was phenomenal. But in the early 1960s, they found him dead. Now, he was still ministering at that. He'd minister. But he became an alcoholic. He'd minister. He was just downright drunk is what he was. But he was minister. He had anointing on his life. See, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, God, we need to understand, even though men get out there and get messed up, the call's on their life. And every time he'd go yield that call, God would do. Why? Because God wants to bless people. Yet they found him dead from alcohol poisoning. He drank himself to death. died in a motel room. And that often, see, this kind of things break my heart. Wonderful gift of God that the body of Christ needs. Wonderful gift of God to the world. Did you ever think you're a gift of God to the world? Or do you think, see, I see people, well, I'm a gift of God to family. No, you're a gift of God to the world. We're gifts of the church is God. Church is Jesus in the earth. Is Jesus a gift or not? Is he something? See, we start looking at ourselves. We get our little focus of life. No, we're a gift of God to the world.
Hallelujah.
When Christians don't fulfill their plans and purpose, the church loses gifts. When people don't follow others, there's loss of gifting. There's loss of God's blessing. There's loss. And start to see that. You know? When I start feeling sorry for myself and saying, oh, Lord, I'm just going to retire and go sit down. Then I get over and I start thinking spiritual and I say, I repent, Lord, for being so self-centered and selfish. I'll need to retire. The world needs something today. We ain't got the time for all this leisure. The world's going to hell. I'm going to tell you, revival starts. If you want to have just leisure, you're going to be disappointed because you ain't going to be, the move of God is going to pass you by. It's not a leisure thing. It'll eat up your time. It moves of God, you know. It's like, you know, Mike can tell you, that, boy, how services all the time, going to things, moves of God, people flooding into places, people doing things. You just, it's not something, it's like, well, it's just going to be more relaxing if we can. It's like the Christians used to do, going to the full gospel businessmen dinners. And they used to fight over the food. Remember that? That food. Oh, I didn't get to eat as much. This and that and the other thing. They thought it was about the meal. It wasn't about the meal at all. It was about getting people there saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Christians, you know, their God was their belly. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Another friendship holiday. God said, take all the filling. He ate all the filling. You didn't get it down here. They take it. These people didn't have any. And they're just going to go around and the Christians are out there doing that. And the sinners are like, oh, boy. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close and then we're here this morning. Glory to God. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Lord God, opening our eyes to see, Father, we're so important in your plan.
Amen.
Lord God, oh, Lord God, you need your people. Hallelujah. You love them and you need them. Hallelujah. You want to manifest yourself through them. You want to show yourself through them. Hallelujah. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving us a place to work. Hallelujah. In your vineyard. No, Lord God, not in ours. Lord, sometimes we've tried to grow our own vineyards. We've tried to do our own thing. But Lord God, I want to thank you, Jesus, that you're head of the church.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord Jesus, we set ourselves, we're working for you to do your will. We desire that you rule over us. We desire that you dominate our lives. We desire that you lord over us. Ah, hallelujah. It is so good to have such a trustworthy Lord.
Amen.
So good, Lord God. And thank you for being so patient with us. Lord, thank you for taking the time to correct us, to keep us on course so you can fulfill your good pleasure. That's what you want to do. You want to fulfill your good pleasure. Lord God, there's so many. There's so many out here. They need help. The world system can't give it to them. Hallelujah. But the church can.
Amen.
And I thank you, Father God, for opening up doors to us. I thank you for setting us in situations, Lord God, where, Lord, the supernatural power of God, supernatural wisdom and understanding, the wise thing to say at the time, the wise thing to do at the time. Hallelujah. Revealing your glory. Lord, demonstrations of the Spirit, manifestations of the gifts of healings, the workings of miracles. Oh, Lord, to startle, to marvel people at your glory and your goodness and your love for them. Hallelujah. That they will see it. Hallelujah. And they will glorify the God of heaven. And we thank you, Father God. Thank you for using us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.